Here I am. Bruins up 3 on the Hurricanes. Doom, doom, doom. Oh, what happened, Hurricanes? No. No, what have you done? No. You're down 3-0? Who could have saw that coming? Who could have saw such a fake fraud franchise and team just pulling a no-show? Who would have thought it? I mean, I'm mad at myself, honestly. I should have just called for the sweep. I gave them too much credit. I gave the Carolina Hurricanes way too much credit coming into the series. Calling for a gentleman's sweep. It will not be a gentleman's sweep. It will be an asshole sweep. It'll be a dick move sweep, if I may. This thing isn't going. This thing's over. This thing's over tomorrow. The Hurricanes don't belong on the same ice in the same building. As I take a new breath, they don't belong in the same breath. That's why I just took that deep breath right there, because I didn't want to say the Bruins and the Hurricanes names, because they don't deserve it. Carolina stinks. I thought that from the very beginning. I've been long on this take for quite some time. It's not just about them, though. It's Tuukka. Man, oh man, what a zone. He currently isn't here with us right now. Like, if you went up to try to talk to him, he's in that, like, that Matrix Revolutions, like, Neo shit, where his eyes are, like, burned and bandaged and shit, and he's just seeing green. He's just seeing, like, the green fucking numbers and letters and shit. Like, that's all he sees. That's where Tuukka is. Tuukka's above the clouds somewhere, just finding these pucks and getting in front of it somehow with X-ray vision or with other supernatural help. I don't know. He's just been incredible. 35 saves again last night. It's got a 9.52 save percentage during these last six games, the six-game playoff win streak. He's just been spectacular. He's been absolutely spectacular. Brendan Moore talked about it last night. Brendan Moore, post-game last night, just gives up. He just gave up. He said, like, we're in a shitty situation. Gotta take it one game at a time. But he, like, made fun of it. He's like, well, I can say the cliche thing and say we can't win four games tomorrow. Like, he's like, but I'm not going to do that. We know where we stand. Which, I guess, there's not much else you can do when you're a coach like that. I mean, you can't just be like, oh, we suck. We're done. I guess, but, like, I don't know. Rask is just, he's crushed the Hurricanes' will. You can see, it's written on their faces. It's their heads are throwing back. They're putting their sticks and their hands on their knees after some of these saves. They just can't. They're spectators with us. They're watching. They're watching this greatness, and they're pissed about it. They're absolutely pissed and confused, just like a lot of people are, because Rask isn't known for this. Rask isn't known for these deep playoff, gotta have it, steal you a game, steal you a series even. He's not known for that, and five more wins, and he absolutely will be known as that. He's on a collision course with the Conn Smythe, the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs, collision course. What else? That's the main takeaway, is Tuukka Rask is the best goalie in the world right now. Hands down, and it's going to be really fucking hard to beat that guy. I feel bad for the teams that are left, honestly. Not to say that this is a self-fulfilling prophecy and they're going to rip off five straight wins and sweep these guys and sweep whoever we play, you know. an 11-game win streak to, or no, it would be 10, whatever. 10, 11 to finish off would be unheard of. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the way that it looks right now, man, it's going to be tough to beat this team in a 7-game series. It's going to be borderline impossible to beat this Bruins team 4 times in 7 games. I mean, Rask last night, so cool, so in the zone, on his angles, even post-game, so calm. He says he feels the same. He's like, nothing much changed. Just ice water in his veins. He's like, nothing much changed. Like, pucks are hitting me now. He's like, pucks didn't hit me the last few years because I wasn't in the right spot. He's like, I'm in the right spot now, and they're hitting me. Literally just like the most basic elementary answers, but that's how locked in he is. Like, he can't, even he can't explain it more than that. Like, he's got that much ice water in his veins. His heart rate is that low and that calm, even after a big game and a big win like that, where he clearly steals the game. Pre-game, you know, I'm looking for, again, first 10 minutes, desperate team, 2-0, they're finally in their building. Eddie and Doc both talked about it right before puck drop. First 10 minutes is huge. Will the Bruins be able to weather the storm? Blah, blah, blah. And, of course, what happens? The fucking storm comes. Teravainen gets a wide-open chance within the first minute. Wide-open net, misses the net wide from down below, just below the dots on a tough angle. I mean, it was a tough angle, but Teravainen's he's supposed to be a top-line player, a top-line offensive player. He should have buried that shot. Misses the net completely. Carlo gets a delay of game 55 seconds in. The place is rocking, and you're a Bruins fan. You're going, oh, shit. Oh, shit. This is exactly what we didn't need to happen. Give them an early power play. That place, those hillbillies are going buck wild. Looking, probably pouring Jack Daniels down their sister/girlfriend's Daisy Dukes. Just fucking celebrating already. But nope. Tuukka Rask makes 20 saves in the first period, which is stupid. The Bruins give up chance after chance, and either whether Carolina blows it themselves by not putting it into a net, or Tuukka saves it, or a defenseman blocked it or whatever, they did their job, weathered the storm, got through it, and then the game played out how it played out, obviously. The Bruins get a couple. Rask does show he's human a little bit in the second, letting in that DeHaan goal, which was soft. Really wish he didn't let that one in so we could have had another shutout. Would have just padded his stats that much more. Thankfully, they didn't need it. I want to get into. I actually want to get into that, into the officiating, into the penalties, and just the officiating overall. It's been dreadful. 10 penalties last night, for both teams. The refs have not been good. Let the kids play. I mean, multiple scrums after the whistle and in front of the net and on the side by the benches. This is the Eastern Conference Finals. These people, these guys are putting it all on the line. They're trying to do every little thing they can do to get to the finals, to get to the championship. It's huge, and the refs keep blowing the whistles. Like, boys, it's playoff hockey. The emotions are running high. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, somebody gets cross-checked in the face or anything like that, or anything illegal, suspendable. Let's do that. Other than that, though, if guys are face washing each other or grabbing helmets or what, let it go. Don't give 4-on-4s. Don't give extra, you know, third man in whatever roughing penalties to put another team. That infuriates me. The call on DeBrusk was absolutely dreadful. The slash. There's no slash. Look at the replay. I'm not even going to describe the play because there's nothing to describe. Jake DeBrusk did nothing, and he went to the penalty box for 2 minutes for slashing. The broadcast team thought they were showing the wrong replay. They're like, oh, I don't know if that's the right replay. Nothing much there. Nope, we're being told that is the right, we're being told that is the right replay. That was the call. Like, and then of course the third period, who the Bruins were very lucky that they didn't need this insurance goal. The DeBrusk goalie interference was just absolutely egregious. Absolutely egregious call by that referee in front. I mean, what a ticky-tacky, soft, bullshit callback of a goal. And I got news for you. Listen real close. Listen real close. Nobody knows what goalie interference is. Nobody knows what it is. Like, if you look at the rule book, it's all up to interpretation and referees' preference and referees' discretion. It's bullshit. It's if they think there was enough time for the goalie to recover and make a play, or is he impeded? Is he have the run? It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. And this one was bullshit because DeBrusk isn't in the paint. DeBrusk was not in the crease, in McElhaney's zone or whatever. He's outside the paint. And on top of that, Slavin bumped him into him. Slavin tripped him up that made DeBrusk get involved even with McElhaney. And it doesn't matter at all because all the contact came out of the crease. That's everybody's position. That's not just the goal. There's a reason the blue paint is down. That's where you can't touch the goalie. If you're outside of that, the skaters have fair game. I mean, they can't haul off and whack a goalie. He's not really a skater, but he can fight for position. That's exactly what happened. And you know what? You know why that rule is such bullshit? Is because if that asshole ref doesn't all nonchalant wave that goal off immediately, and they count that good goal, guess what? Toronto is not changing that. It was too close. It was too ticky-tacky. It was bullshit. And the league is lucky. The league is lucky that the Bruins didn't need that insurance goal, that they won that game 2-1, because the right team won. I was very impressed with the Bruins' second period. Their second periods, they've been falling on their face, especially earlier in the playoffs in second periods. It's kind of been their bugaboo. Scored both their goals in it last night. All the goals were scored in the second last night. So, I mean, that's huge. That's huge playing 60 minutes like that and just playing at a real high level. For 60 minutes that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Dougie Hamilton last night post-game said that he thought that Carolina carried most of the play for most of the game. Other than the first 10 minutes and when you pulled your goalie, when were you ever in control of that game? Dougie, are you listening? Were you even out there? Were you playing, so you should know. You should really know that you're just getting waxed. Your team was getting waxed up and down the ice. And you had chances and you didn't convert. So, I mean, I don't know if that does that compute to them, the Hurricanes outplaying the Bruins? No. No, it was if anything it was even. If anything, just the delusion that but Dougie's coach Brenda Moore, he has no illusions. He said last night if he's ever seen a goalie locked in like Rask before, and he said maybe while he was playing, but in this series Rask has been the difference maker. That's what he said. He said he's a difference maker. Absolutely right. Absolutely like Rod. Rod or Rob? It's Rod. Rod Brind'Amour. Yeah, he's just, he doesn't know what to do. And his players don't either. His players are snake bit. After a while like this, in series like this, when a goalie's playing at this high a level, it starts to seep into your head. It starts to seep into the opponent's head that we can't score against this guy. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, as in we have to wait. We have to wait for the perfect shot. We have to wait till it's open and we can get it through. When that's not how you score goals in the NHL. You got to shoot the puck. Hello. Do the cliches. They work. Shoot the puck. Puck's in deep. Get it on net. Hello. Like, it's the NHL. You should know this. And then they're there. They're doing a lot what the Bruins were doing when they were struggling against Toronto. They're passing it too much. Carolina's passing the puck way too much, especially when they have either odd man rushes or power plays. They're trying to make the fancy ticky-tack whatever, you know, a fancy three or four touch play that ends up in an open net. And that's just not been happening. That's not. They need to start shooting it on net, getting people in front of Rask. They had it a few times last night. Rask is just in a different. Like I said, there was a few where I thought he had X-ray vision, where there was two or three bodies in front of him, and he just puts his glove out or puts his pad out, and it hits it. I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy is just on a run. This guy's on a run that we haven't seen since Tim Thomas. But he's got to finish it off. He's got to finish it off. What else? What else did I have post-game? The post-game was terrible again last night. Jonesy and Sharp were just playing the world's fucking smallest violins for all the Carolina people. Oh, Carolina can't score. Rask is too good. I feel so bad. That's what they said. I feel really bad for the Hurricanes because they can't score. They got really good chances, but Tuca's too good. That's how they sounded. That's exactly how. And what's with Roenick, by the way? What's with Roenick being the fucking the Hurricanes cheerleaders? What is that? Why is he? Are they trying to make that a thing? Hey, NBC Network, NBC Sports, listen. Quit trying to make the Carolina Hurricanes a fucking thing. They're not a thing. They're a fake franchise. Their fans are fake. Their team is a fraud. A fraudulent Eastern Conference Finals opponent. I mean, a tomato can, not unlike like the divisional round that the Patriots play in every year at home. And it's like, oh, well, there's a fucking AFC South team. They're an AFC South team who went 8-8 and were lucky to make it in the fucking playoffs and win a wild card game. That's who they are. Only they had to beat a couple legit teams. They actually beat a couple legit teams before getting here. It's insane. I don't know how they let. How did those teams let this happen? I mean, the Bruins are absolutely exposing these frauds right now, and I couldn't be more happy about it. I really am curious. It's kind of a win-win for tomorrow, because if the Bruins win, it's over, and obviously that's it. Stanley Cup. Talk to you later. But if Carolina wins, do you think Carolina does one of their post-game celebrations? Or do you think they just skate off? What do you think? They can't, right? They can't do a... Down 3-1. They can't do a celebration down 3-1 going back. And again, they just might. I don't know. They just fucking might. They're so tone deaf to the temperature of playoff hockey. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if they just shit on the tradition and shit on, you know, not being, I don't want to say playing the game the right way, because that sounds like I'm a whiny old man. I'm just curious to see it. I'm curious to see how they handle a win, if they can get a win tomorrow night. I don't think it happens. I gave them way too much credit to start. I think this is a clean sweep. think this is a clean sweep for the Bruins. And it's due in part to this fourth line. This fourth line's been incredible this playoffs. We couldn't have dreamt. We couldn't have asked a genie for better fucking secondary scoring than we've gotten from the lines 2 through 4 and the D pairs. They've been unbelievable. Carrying play when the first and second lines are struggling. And when the first and second lines are clicking, all four lines have been clicking. I've never really seen it like that. Because last year, and even the year before that, if the perfection line, quote-unquote, or the first line, if they weren't scoring, you know, they go out for a shift, a minute 20, oh, no goals. Guess we're going to have to wait 5 or 6 minutes till Bergie, Marshy, and Pasta get back on the ice to score a goal. And, of course, they, you know, you were absolutely right. Nobody from the other three lines could score. And then you'd have to wait. Complete opposite this year. Complete opposite. The level these guys are playing from the goalie out, from the first line down, it's scary. They're a scary bunch for any team left. That's the reason they're the prohibitive favorite in Vegas to win the whole thing. So, what else did I want to get to? I guess Brendan Moore is still being cagey about who he's starting in net for Game 4, even though his backup only just gave up two. His backup gave up two goals, and they were legit. So I don't know. That team is just in such disarray right now. But the Bruins can't sleep, because this is one of the only sports that it happens in. The 0-3 hole coming back. It's only happened once in baseball. Has it happened once in basketball? I don't think it has. And if it has, it's only happened once. Has anyone ever came back from being down 3-0 in the NBA? Let's check this real quick. Ever since Celtics rally, no, it hasn't. It's never happened, and I think, has anyone ever even made it to a Game 7? Oh, yes, one time. The Mavs. Wow. Including this postseason, only three series. Three series have gone to a Game 7. Okay. That's in the NBA. But it's, yeah. So it does happen. It happens rarely. Almost never. So we'll see. Try and finish it up. We're going to finish it up tomorrow. I'm probably going to do some Bruins. We just did Bruins for 24 minutes. Probably going to do some Red Sox, either later on tonight or tomorrow morning. Just a quick one, just a quick little 10 minutes, state of the Red Sox, Sale, 17 strikeouts last night, on career high. One of those rare games, those rare, had a stench of the Roger Clemens 20 strikeout games, the Kerry Wood strikeout game, 20 strikeout games. Who else? Are those the only two? Somebody else just did it last year too. It had a real feel of that, and of course they pissed it away. Of course, why would the bullpen ever hold a historic performance like that up by your ace, who you just paid millions of dollars to, hundreds of millions of dollars to. We'll talk more about that tomorrow though. Thanks for listening again. The Twitter is at TalkinBS1. The Instagram is at _TalkinBS. If you heard any clanging around or like licking noises during this, I'm dog sitting for my parents. My dog's been sitting next to me literally this whole time. So forgive me for that. It's okay, buddy. Mama will be home soon. It's okay. So, yeah. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks a lot. See ya.